Good morning, everyone. Hope your holiday was successful yesterday. Give us your story at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post a comment at thetakeaway.org. And stay with us. We're going to take an amazing look inside the revolution going on in Egypt as those tens of thousands of demonstrators in Cairo confront the government. We've been following that all week, and we'll go live to Cairo a little later on in this hour. But the images of Thanksgiving yesterday also included demonstrators from around the country who were fed at Thanksgiving ceremonies of one kind or another, from New York to California. The Occupy Wall Street movement is only the latest expression of a deep frustration with government and the economic forces which govern our lives. Throughout what might have been thought of as a hopeful turn of the corner with the election of Barack Obama in 2008, in fact, the last 4 years have seen pockets of deep suspicion, passionate outrage about the economy and government, and a mission to find perhaps another way forward beyond the two-party system politically, or even beyond traditional American capitalism. Occupy Wall Street is not unlike the unorganized Tea Party, disgruntled there in the beginning before it essentially became part of partisan politics in the United States. The anti-globalization movement, also another example. To sort out the symptom from cause in Occupy Wall Street and other examples of anger in the economy, we're joined by Mattathias Schwartz. He contributes to the New York Times Magazine and the London Review of Books and has written a piece for The New Yorker entitled Preoccupied: The Origins and Future of Occupy Wall Street. Mattathias, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me, John.
Yeah, it's great to talk to you. And, you know, where do you think that the Occupy Wall Street anger fits into an overall sense in America and in the industrialized world? I think if you include Europe, that things are not working out.
Well, I think as far as America goes, you're right to compare this movement to the Tea Party. I think there's more and more people who feel like they can't get what they want within the two-party system, so they have to step outside and wave signs, and they feel like they'll have better luck doing that than going through their elected representatives.
Yet, you know, reconcile these two phenomena for me. Everybody, there are a lot of people talk about the following two things: that yes, the anger is out there. I absolutely feel it. I have the same sense that things aren't working out. But there's also this sense of, what are these demonstrators possibly going to accomplish by just confronting police? There's a sense that the anger is out there, but this particular response to it is maybe not up to the task of really expressing what's on people's minds.
I think it's interesting how quickly this movement's gone from zero to 60, you might say. It's only been about 60 days, and everyone's talking about it, and they've got people talking about economic inequality, and you can chalk that up as a kind of victory. It's also interesting how quickly people have gotten tired of it and even annoyed by it. And I think part of the problem is that a lot of the movement's conversations so far have been directed inward in terms of, how do we manage this camp we've created? You know, where are we going to go to the bathroom? Like, where are we going to get our food? How are we going to deal with all these homeless people living here? I mean, those are what the conversations at Zuccotti Park have been like. And there hasn't been room in all those logistics for a more outwardly directed conversation towards the people who may be sitting on the sidelines and may feel sympathetic and may not know, you know, where their role in this whole thing is.
And we've seen this in Egypt as well, that there is a disgruntlement, a sense of unease and anger at the pace of change in Egypt, yet there's no leadership in Tahrir Square. There's no set of activists who are directing things. And I think we see that in Occupy Wall Street as well.
Yeah, I think a difference might be with the Occupy Wall Street folks. The decision to have no leaders, from my reporting, appears to be a self-conscious one, that they deliberately do not want a set of demands or set of goals or set of leaders. They want the political system to somehow come to them and engage them on their terms.
Talking with Mattathias Schwartz, freelance journalist who contributes to the Times Magazine and the London Review of Books. He just wrote a piece for The New Yorker entitled Preoccupied: The Origins and Future of Occupy Wall Street. So what is your view of the origins of this? Is it a group that was on the sidelines ready to protest at almost the drop of a hat, as Newt Gingrich suggests? Or is this something that includes people who have really crossed a Rubicon here, have become fundamentally different in some way?
Well, the chronology my story gives begins with a magazine in Canada called Adbusters and a series of emails between this editor in Vancouver and a younger editor in Berkeley. But you're asking who's involved. I think, you know, Charles Blow published a very interesting op-ed in the New York Times months and months before this began, where he compared economic inequality and unemployment in the United States to the Arab world, and we actually have worse economic inequality, according to Blow.
No, he talked about that on our program.
Oh, yeah.
And his prediction was that those numbers mean that something's got to give.
Yeah, I think that was very prescient. I think, you know, things can only get so bad for so long before you see people massing in the streets, and I think that's what you're starting to see here.
Although it does appear to have reached a plateau. What is the origins of what seems to be something you referred to a moment ago as as people getting tired of it. And I want to talk about the pepper spray narrative, which is a whole other thing that entered the entire discussion this week.
Mm-hmm. So people.
Why do you think people have gotten so tired? Why is it not moving beyond the groups in these various places camped around individual cities like Berkeley, like Oakland, like Seattle, like New York?
Well, I think in the beginning you had this Occupy tactic, which worked for a lot of reasons. It was easy to do. It puts people in contact with people who probably share their politics in some extent. It's a quick way to get a lot of media attention. Then there's other things about it that don't work, and that, you know, most people who have the power to change things structurally don't have enough time to, like, sit out in a camp for weeks and weeks until things do change.
So how do they get connected to the people who actually are in a position to make changes but aren't in a position to demonstrate?
I mean, that's an excellent question. You had a really interesting post on, I think, The Daily Kos by Michael Moore a day or two ago, where he said he'd been at a meeting with 40 Occupy leaders, and here's our new platform, and this is what we're going to do. But then most people I talk to from the Zuccotti Park leadership are like, no, this is totally illegitimate. Right. Don't believe anything that some, you know, big head who's in charge says he's in charge of something the left says. So
anybody over 30, don't trust them, that kind of idea.
It
reminds me of the 60s. So talk about this pepper spray incident, the UC Davis pepper spray incident that has taken off as a kind of symbol of police activity against peaceful demonstrators. People on this program, including a guest earlier this morning, suggested that's going to cause the movement to grow. What do you think?
I think the guest you had on earlier, exactly right. I think it's images like that that can, radicalize middle America folks who may have felt alienated by the movement up to now, but they see those images and they see, you know, their sons and daughters who might be at school, and it's not Kent State, obviously, but I think it's the
power of the image. You've got these memes of this cop going around pepper spraying everything online. There are hundreds of thousands of different pictures of people pasting that cop who suddenly become iconic.
I think it's very powerful, and I think it's hard not to chalk that up as a win for the movement when they're able to force that kind of response and force that kind of escalation when they're able to force themselves to be perceived as that much of a threat that they have to be eliminated, you know, or pushed aside in this way.
And using a tactic that doesn't involve occupying another park, but it does reach many, many more people. Mattathias Schwartz is a freelance journalist who contributes to the Times Magazine. He wrote a piece for The New Yorker entitled Preoccupied, The Origins and Future of Occupy Wall Street. Thanks so much.
Thank you, John.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.